In his house I belong. Through nothing I've done, just a promise he made. In his house I belong. He gives me the courage to trust in his name.
In his house I belong. Through nothing I've done, just a promise he made. In his house I belong. He gives me the courage to trust in his name.
In his house I belong. Through nothing I've done, just a promise he's made. In his house I belong. He gives me the courage to trust in his name.
In his house I belong. Through nothing I've done, just a promise he's made. In his house I belong. He gives me the courage to trust in his name.
I've done just a promise he's made. In his house I belong. He gives me the courage to trust in his name.
In his house I belong. Through nothing I've done, just a promise he's made. In his house I belong. He gives me the courage to trust in his name. In his house I belong. His message of mercy and grace fill my soul. In his house I belong. His strength I rely on till he takes me home. In his house I belong. Through nothing I've done, just a promise he made. In his house I belong.
Make me follow that. Told Randy this morning, I said, man, they are so smooth. His answer, they've been playing together for 15 years. They should be.
Check one, two, check one, two.
Well, good morning to you. My name is Doug Walker. I have the honor of being the associate pastor here at Asbury United Methodist Church. And if you're visiting with us today, you are a special guest with us. As the attendance pads are being passed down the aisle, I ask everybody, members and guests alike, if you would please just fill that out. That's, for some reason, the district likes us to turn in those numbers and information to them. And so that's the main goal for that. So we can have a record of your attendance this morning. Just a few announcements before we get going this morning. You see up on screen, we're in the final few sermon in our Songs of Summer series. Say that five times real fast. Today is hot fun in the summertime. It's hot for certain. Yes, if it's afternoon, it's no more fun, is it? But yeah, next week is Surfing USA, and we're going to end up the last Sunday of this month with summer rains, and we need some of that. Yes. Next, Next week, the UMW, United Methodist Women Summer Circle, is going to be getting together at noon, directly following the service. The guest speaker for that, as you see, is Nancy Rorix with Stewpot. I know that you will want to come and hear her story. Stewpot feeds countless people, and to listen to what God has placed inside her heart is just a miracle story within itself. On August the 11th, here at Asbury, we're lucky enough to have been chosen as a host site for the lay ministry training. Now, trust me, you don't have to sign your name away and then get on the bus and, you know, things like that. Anybody who is interested in going just a little bit deeper or learning a little bit more of how the laity fits in with the church overall, you know, pastors come and pastors go. Let's just say it like it is. In the United Methodist faith, the pastors are itinerant and they move around. The strength of a church is directly related to the strength of the laity. The basic course is going to be taught, and then there are going to be some advanced courses. For those of you that have already had the basic course, there will be, I think, three other advanced courses taught. If you have questions, give me a shout. I've got the registration form. I can send it to you electronically. Really invite you to come and just spend one day, and it's not even an entire day, learning how to be part of the laity of the United Methodist faith. Scholarship Sunday is also going to be on July 29th. Those are the scholarship recipients, and our lay leader, Baker Curris, is going to be presenting them with those scholarship checks. The cost of higher education is going up and up and up. And any way that they can get wow, is that last call? any money that can help out with that is great. I mean, I'm working on my second master's, and any money that I can get would be greatly appreciated. Douglas R. Walker, and I'm kidding. So, yeah, be here. You want to honor them as they continue on in their higher education endeavors, because it's getting quite expensive, and the gap between those who do not go and the gap of those that do go is becoming wider in our country. So be here. Honor them. Give them words of encouragement as they proceed on down their academic careers for everyone. Well, this morning I'm going to invite you to stand. We have a lot of visitors with us today. And I'm going to ask you to share the peace of Christ and introduce yourself to them.
Good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
So how are y'all this hot summer day?
Great.
Good?
Great.
Good? Are you, like, ready to go take a dip in the pool after church today? I wish I got to.
I
want to
go in air conditioning.
You want to go in air conditioning?
Well,
me too.
I can't go.
You can't?
I have to go to St. Paul's.
Fun, super fun. Okay. We could go to an air-conditioned pool. But what if you were going to the pool, though, and some of us didn't know how to swim? What would you use to feel safe?
Life jacket, but I would just walk in the water.
Yeah, life jacket, floaties, the beach, too. Yeah, you could do that. Maybe like a life preserver, you'd have to have that, right, to feel safe? And you hoped,
yeah.
And so who did you hope was there? So if something happened and your floaty popped and you were like drowning, who? A lifeguard would be there. Or who else would be there? If you were walking out into the water, do you think your mom was keeping an eye on you? Yeah, I think she was keeping an eagle eye on you. Yeah. Or other people at the pool too, right. Now what about if you're at the beach? Like I was at the beach 2 weeks ago and we would see the helicopters flying a lot. You know what they were looking for? Sharks and maybe people that had drifted out, looking at the water conditions to see if it was safe. And the lifeguards would put flags up on the beach and they'd tell us if it was safe or not. You know, you can go in the water, you can't go in the water. There might be animals out there that you didn't want to be out there by yourself with. Okay, so that's somebody that was looking out for us. Now, what if something happened and a lifeguard wasn't around, your parents weren't around, you didn't see anybody? Who do you think you would turn to?
My
God. What would you do? How would you talk to God?
Pray.
Right. We would pray to God, right? So you know that even if someone isn't there to help you feel safe, you know who's always with you? God is always there to help us feel safe. God is also, can you talk to God anywhere at any time?
Yeah, you can speak to him in Mexico.
You sure can. So it's okay. You don't have to learn how to pray in Spanish. He hears all languages. Okay? He does. Okay. So we know that God is with us wherever we go, and he is there to help us feel safe. All right? Let us pray, and then we'll meet, and we're going to go back into Kids Club, and we're going to talk about the Lorax and about protecting God's environment. Okay? Heavenly Father, thank you for helping us always feel safe and for being here for us to talk to. In your name we pray. Amen.
While they're leaving, let me just say a couple things. We're the Asbury Prison Band, and even though some of the music we make sound criminal, we're really not from a prison. We go to various places. Primarily our stand-in gig is the Department of Community Correction, Community Punishment Center. We go there with Joe Wilkerson, and Patty are here with their granddaughter, Millie. Wave, Joe. You're clearly not running for office, or you'd stand up and make a speech. You got to know. That's a little background joke. But anyway, we're going to play a few songs for you, and we hope you enjoy it. Normally, you have to get in trouble and to hear this kind of stuff, so you're privileged this morning. But we're looking forward to this. Feel free to stand, clap, sit down, whatever you want to do. Sing along. That's the only thing we'd ask you to do. So hope you enjoy the music.
Holy, 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 open my heart.
Holy, holy, holy.
eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open my eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see you.
This is one of those prison songs that you're probably not going to recognize. Well, it ain't nobody's fault but mine. No, it ain't nobody's fault but mine. If I die and my soul belongs, ain't nobody's fault.
Nobody's fault but mine. Ain't nobody's fault but mine. If I die and my soul be lost, ain't nobody's fault but mine.
Well, I've got a Bible I can read. Yes, I got a Bible I can read. And if I fail to read it and my soul be lost,
ain't nobody's fault but mine.
Sing with us.
Ain't nobody's fault but mine. Ain't nobody's fault but mine. If I die and my soul be lost, ain't nobody's fault but mine.
My mother, she taught me how to pray. Yes, my mother, she taught me how to pray. And if I fail to pray and my soul be lost,
ain't nobody's fault but mine.
Come on now.
Ain't nobody's fault but mine. Ain't nobody's fault but mine. If I die and my soul be lost, ain't nobody's fault but mine.
Well, I've got a song that I can sing. Yes, I've got a song that I can sing. And if I fail to sing it, am I so be lost?
Ain't nobody's fault but mine.
Come on now.
Ain't nobody's fault but mine. Ain't nobody's fault but mine. If I die and my soul be lost, ain't nobody's fault but mine.
Real loud now.
Ain't nobody's fault but mine.
Ain't nobody's fault.
Ain't nobody's fault but mine.
Ain't nobody's fault.
If I die and my soul be lost, ain't nobody's fault but mine.
One more time now.
Ain't nobody's fault but mine. Ain't nobody's fault but mine. If I die and my soul be lost, ain't nobody's fault but mine.
Take us home, Tom.
Thank you.
Shall we just pass the plate now? Now I know why Mary didn't want to come in here and do that. Wow. Well, as much fun as we're having this morning, and I hope that you are, it's okay to have fun in the presence of the Lord. We also, when we get together, we're a praying church. You know that. You know how I feel about that. And it's because this church prays for people that things happen to people. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Saw Charlie Wagner downstairs, and he is a walking miracle. Amen. It's because y'all prayed for Charlie Wagner. I'll never forget that service. Sometimes we just forget. We just don't know the words to pray. Right now, I'm kind of having one of those moments after listening to all of that. But I do want to mention to you the names of those people that are on the prayer list. And I invite you to turn to the back of your bulletin, and I'm going to read them. Charlie Ward Sr., Becky Sage, Garnet Hartong, Laura Stinnett, Annette Crawford. I'd like for you to please add to that list Preston Cowan. We see Preston in here every single Sunday. Preston's not, he's had surgery on his hand. I hope that's okay if I say that. And he just wasn't feeling good today. He was hurting. So please add Preston to your prayer list. Van and Diane Gardner in the loss of Van's dad, Herschel. Herschel has been a member here for many, many, many years and was a rock in the divine service. Please remember Van and Diane in your prayers. Also, Larry Carpenter. Those of you who know Larry, I got word yesterday morning that his mother passed away. So it's hard when we lose loved ones. No matter, there's no way to prepare for that. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Loving God, sometimes when we come before you, it's hard to speak the words that are on our heart. This morning is just one of those times. We're humbled by the presence of your Holy Spirit in this place. And it is with such times when we cannot pray. The Holy Spirit prays for us. Thank you for sending the Comforter, the Counselor, our Advocate, our Intercessor, your Holy Spirit to us. With summer upon us, we praise and worship you in a building with comfortable cooling. We sometimes take this modern marvel for granted. We forget that there are churches even in this state that do not have air conditioning, yet they praise and worship you in the heat with all their heart. Help us this morning to be so focused on you that we forget all else as we seek your face today. Father, we ask that you watch over the homeless. In the heat of the summer, they sometimes have no place to find comfort and coolness. Use us to reach out to them and share cool water, and in doing so, share the water of life. Lord, we ask that you comfort those who have lost loved ones this week. Give them a peace that passes all understanding and a peace that can only come from you. We pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As our ushers are coming forward, we're a blessed church. We are. Let's remember those who are less fortunate than we are. As we give, let's give knowing that God will return those blessings as we bless others. Let's bless this offering. Father, we know all good things come from you. We desire only those blessings that are heaven sent, lest we can boast. May we be a loving and a giving church to further your kingdom on earth until Jesus comes in glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
early in the morning when the church bells toll. Choir's gonna sing and the hearse will roll on down to the graveyard where it's cold and gray. And then the sun's gonna shine through the shadows when I go away. I don't want no sorrow for this old orphan boy. I don't want no crying, only tears of joy. I'm gonna see my mother, I'm gonna see my father, and I'll be bound for glory in the morning when I go away. I'll be lifted up to the clouds on the wings of angels. There's only flesh and bones in the ground where my troubles will stay. See that storm over yonder, it's gonna rain all day. But then the sun's gonna shine through the shadows when I go away. I'm going home.
Lift me up.
When I no more trouble.
I'm going home. Lift me up.
When I no more crying.
I'm going home. Lift me up.
When I no more trials.
I'm going home to leave my worries in the grave.
I'm going home. Lift me up.
When I no more trouble.
I'm going home.
Lift me up.
When I no more crying.
I'm going home.
Lift me up.
When I
no
more trials.
Home to leave my worries in the graveyard. Home to leave my troubles in the graveyard. Home to leave my trials.
And I'll be bound for glory in the morning when I go away. Friends who love me and all my friends who care, look beyond those dark clouds, we're gonna meet up there. Lay me in the cold ground, just bow your heads and pray.
Bow your heads and pray,
and I'll be bound for glory in the morning when I go away.
And then the sun's gonna shine through the shadows when I go away. I'm going home.
Lift me up.
When I
no
go
more
away.
Trouble.
I'm going home.
Lift me up.
When I
no
go
more
away.
Crying.
I'm going home.
Lift me up.
When I
no
go
more
away.
Trials.
I'm going
home to leave my worries in the grave.
I'm going home.
Lift me up.
When I
no more trouble.
In the morning.
I'm going home.
Lift me up.
When I
no
go
more crying.
I'm going home.
Lift me up.
When I
no more trials.
I'm going
home to leave my worries in the graveyard. Home to leave my troubles in the graveyard. Home to leave my trials.
And I'll be
bound for glory in the morning when I go away. And then the sun's gonna shine through the shadows when I go away.
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 And then you get me. Well, this morning's sermon is in the series, Hot Fun in the Summertime.
Who remembers Sly and the Family Stone? Good, good group. Well, hot fun in the summertime. I can tell you, one man's fun is another man's work. Or, as the old saying goes, one man's pleasure is another man's pain, right? Remember that? As hot as it's been, and yesterday we hit 100. First day this year. We haven't hit 100 degrees in Little Rock since 2016. So if you're going to have fun, hot fun in the summertime, it better be in the morning time. In the afternoon, it would be painful. But if you do get out early of a morning, which I do a lot, there's a lot of things people can do. They can walk, enjoy walking, or as I've gotten into the past couple of months, several months, I've gotten into biking again. And it's nice to see that cool breeze. But again, my mother likes, I call her, she says, well, I got out into the garden, I did this and I did that at 84 years old. I said, Mom, get back in by 10 o'clock, really. She enjoys gardening, as many of you do. But I'll say it again, one man's pain is another man's pleasure. I hate gardening. I said it, Cindy, I hate gardening. I don't like it. It's painful for me. Dad had a big garden. And it was my younger brother, 16 months younger than I, it was our job to weed the garden by hand. And it was about half the size of this room. And the reason we did it by hand is because we weren't exactly good and precise with a garden hoe. And after a couple of tomato plants kind of got weeded with the weeds, Dad said, okay, by hand, boys. We would also water the garden too. But like my grandmother said, not with city water, but with well water. Now, the garden was to the side of the house. Dad's house, Dad and Mom's house, sat on half city block, and it was to the side of the house, and the well was in the back. My brother and I would carry a 5-gallon bucket of water to the garden, about 43 pounds for an 11 and 12-year-old, and we would have, we would carry that 5 gallons, and we would water all the tomato plants and all of the squash and the zucchini and the okra and everything. And then we would go back, and we'd fill up the bucket again, and we would make trip after trip after trip after agonizing trip. And now you see, one man's pain is another man's pleasure. I don't like gardening. Well, this morning, we're going to read about the nation of Israel, and it's going to be a familiar passage to you. They were having a party. They were having some hot fun in the summertime themselves. Now, if you have your Bible with you, I hope you do, I invite you to turn to the 32nd chapter of the book of Exodus, and we're going to start reading in the 15th verse in that chapter, and I'll be reading out of the NIV this morning. I just pray that as these words are read aloud, that you hear God's voice and in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as these words were authored and not my voice, and that they bless you. Beginning with verse 15, Moses turned and went down the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. The tablets were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God, engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting, he said to Moses, "There is a sound of war in the camp." Moses replied, "It is not the sound of victory. It is not the sound of defeat. It is the sound of singing that I hear." When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hand, breaking them into pieces at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf the people had made and burned it in the fire. Then he ground it to powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. He said to Aaron, "What did these people do to you that you led them into such great sin?" "Do not be angry, my Lord," Aaron answered. "You know how prone these people are to evil. They said to me, 'Make us gods who will go before us.' As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him." So I told them, "Whoever has gold jewelry, take it off." Then they gave me the gold, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. the Word of God for the people of God. You know, a lot of time when we read about the nation of Israel while they were wandering in the Sinai and in the wilderness, and even after they crossed over the River Jordan and reached the Promised Land, we just shake our heads at some of the things that they have done. Well, this morning we do. We find them in the Sinai. And I can tell you from personal experience, it can get hot in the desert in that portion of the world. It can get so hot that you can walk outside of the building that you're in, the air conditioned building, walk out, and even though you're in the shade, the tip of your nose and your ears, the outsides of your ears begin to burn as if they're in direct sunlight, and you're standing in the shade. So personally, even though they're out in that heat and probably in a bad mood already, I kind of give them a break, cut them some slack, because it can get hot. You could take the nation of Israel, as we just read, and in all of their bad stuff, you could pluck them out of history, and you could place them in modern times, and they would fit. Why? They were so fickle, so reminiscing, and so impatient. They wanted things right now. We are sometimes described as a microwave society, are we not? Drive-through windows, popcorn, microwave popcorn. We want it now. Think about it. The nation of Israel was no different, and they didn't have microwaves. I don't know what they called them back then. That's why I say that they would fit in today. When Moses led them out of Egypt, remember, how many days did it take them to start griping and carrying on about their situation? You can hold a finger and your thumb and come up with the right answer. 3 days. 3 whole days. They started reminiscing about the good old days when they were in captivity. They forgot all about the 400 years of captivity and started talking about how wished that they were back where they had houses to live in and food to eat. Well, like today's society, they and we forget about all of the bad stuff when we're talking about the good old days. Think about it. They were guided by the very presence of God. God was there, and he was there providing for them and his presence. He provided quail and manna for them every single day. But did that satisfy them? No, not at all. They weren't satisfied with God's presence, nor were they satisfied with his provision. Now you tell me how the nation of Israel is any different from us. And when I say us, I'm leading the group this morning. I'm the lead us in this. Pastor Mary said in her message last week that if there is no premeditation in our actions and in our blessings, then it has to be from the Holy Spirit. You remember that? God's Spirit was amongst the people of Israel. He was providing for them daily. And there was no planning whatsoever on their part. There's no other explanation of the blessings that were coming upon that nation. But the nation of Israel was first impatient. Impatient. Now let me just set the stage for you as we've read. Moses was on top of Mount Sinai, talking with God on one of his several trips. He didn't just make one trip. I think the scriptures read, if I counted once, it's either between seven and nine trips that he made up the mountain. This time, before he had taken Aaron up with him, this time he took Joshua. Joshua, the leader of the armies of the nation of Israel. Aaron was the first high priest of God for the nation of Israel, was left to look after the people and lead them. Lead them. Verse 1 of this chapter says,
When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him." The nation was at the foot of Mount Sinai. They were encamped, and they were having a party of sorts. And they saw the mountain, the top of that mountain covered in a cloud, in a fiery cloud. As Moses went up, the cloud descended. I guess they thought the fire consumed Moses. And since they had no direction or leader, so they thought, they wanted Aaron to fashion a golden calf for them. Now, possibly, this golden calf replicated the gods in Egypt that they were familiar with. And, of course, the good old days, right? Or it could have been a replica of the god Baal, which was the god of the Canaanites, who was their neighbor. Maybe they were trying to cozy up to them. Maybe it had been one of the first political actions. I don't know. But that's what they wanted. Either way, you have to agree with me. The nation of Israel just lost sight of where they were heading. They were not only impatient, they were also distracted. And when Moses came down from the mountain, he was none too pleased in their impatience and in their distraction. Now, before we completely and absolutely throw them under the bus, how often do we get distracted by the world? We put so many things in our lives, so many hobbies, we lose track of time and forget about God. In Arkansas, you can turn the calendar of activities on Wednesday and look in the paper for the Sunday morning activities coming up, and you'll find running races, bicycle races, triathlons, golf tournaments, fishing tournaments, motorcycle club trips, lake house visits, and so on and so on and so on. Now, before you start picking up stones and casting them toward the stage, I will tell you, out of that long list of activities, the only one that I haven't involved myself with is the lake house visits. Oh, it was so easy in my 20s and 30s to find something to do on Sunday mornings that I didn't have to be in church. We can worship, though, anywhere we are, because God's everywhere, isn't He? But let's be honest. When's the last time you were riding through the Ozarks, driving through the Ozarks on a Sunday morning, and you see a motorcyclist come around a corner with both hands raised in the air praising Jesus? If you did, he better continue his talk with Jesus, because that just ain't going to happen. Again, we can find things to fill that time. Now, I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that we, and this is being recorded, so I may get called out for it. I'm not saying that we need to be in this building every time that the doors are open. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that we need to be, as the Apostle Paul said, in a constant state of prayer. Have that prayerful mind where you're carrying on conversations with God all day long. When we're that away, we will want to be in the gathering of the saints as often as we can. As often as we can. Lastly, I see the nation of Israel as compromising. And Aaron acting as their lead compromiser and excuse maker. No more than they had lost sight of Moses and Joshua for a couple of weeks, then they started compromising their faith. What did they do? Well, they went to Aaron and said, you know, we need a new God so we can rally around them. But all they had to do was turn around and look up at Mount Sinai.
and see that they were in the very presence of Jehovah God. But they can't when they have your back to the mountain. Here's the danger they got into, and we get into the same situations today by doing exactly the same thing that they did. Now, we don't make idols, or at least I hope we don't, but what we are guilty of trying to do is to make God and recreate God in the image that we want. Creating, conforming, picking, and choosing to have God fit into the image that we desire. When we do this, we become the creator. And self-worship is a dangerous thing. Like the Israelites, it led them into a life of immorality. We can find God in a lot of things and in the beauty of His creation. And yes, even riding early, early of a morning and seeing the deer and things like that out in the woods, we can find God in places like that. But have we placed something between God and ourselves that we think is so important? Have we? If you're really serious about getting close to God, if you really want to have a good relationship with God, then you ask Him, as I need to do the same thing. Is there anything in my life that I have placed, Lord, between You and me? If you're going to ask, you better get ready for an answer, because the Holy Spirit may point out some things that you have. And we all do. We all have from time to time. We have to admit it. Ask God what He wants you to do with those things. He may say, get rid of them. But then again, He also may say, we need to put those in priority. I'm not asking you to give them up, but let's just put them in proper priority and put me back first. God should be first. And then everything else that follows. And when these things are pointed out, I certainly hope you don't fall into the excuse pit of, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry it was this reason or that reason. You know, as we just read just a few minutes ago, listen to this excuse again and see if it doesn't sound like a 3-year-old boy that just got caught with his hand in the cookie jar. Listen, do not be angry with me, my Lord, he told Moses. You know how prone these people are to evil. Can't you just see him doing this and standing back like, not me? They said to me, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. So I told them, whoever has any gold, take it off. They gave me the gold. Listen, and hopefully I can say it in the best way possible. They gave me the gold, I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. I'm sure Moses was saying, are you serious? Listen to yourself. That's kind of like the 3-year-old boy. You want a cookie? Same thing. That is the most pitiful excuse that I've ever heard. I threw the gold into the fire and out popped this calf. Aaron fell victim. Face it. He fell victim to the pressure that was put on him by the nation of Israel and compromised his own faith and allowed the nation to compromise theirs too. But we fall victims sometimes to the same pressure, to societal pressure, and not share Jesus with someone we know needs Him. And we ignore the Holy Spirit in doing just that. Don Shipley in the Divine Service filled in for me a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about a situation that he was in, and he walked past this couple, these two adults and this teenage girl. He knew he should have stopped and interjected into this situation, and he didn't. And it bugged him so very much. He put that in his message of listening to the Holy Spirit. And it was countless person after person after person that came up to him after the service and said, I've done exactly the same thing and it has bothered me for years. Here's the goal we need to remember, is we need to keep our eyes on the goal. Sometimes we need to stop. Just stop. Stop ourselves. And stop the world around us. And be still. And know that whatever's going on in the news, whatever's going on in our life, God is still God. There are so many distractions that we can fill our lives with. We can get stirred up by the daily news of people saying things and calling each other names that they shouldn't be calling in the first place. At some point in our life, most of us are guilty of placing things or activities ahead of God and placing them on the altar instead of God on the altar. You know, we may not be able to see His presence in a burning cloud on top of a mountain, but we can certainly see His work in the beauty of His creation. The picture you see on screen is the Blue Ridge Mountains with a rainstorm moving through the valley. You tell me there isn't a creator. We can see His creation, and we can see the miracles that happen each and every day to us and through us. God is real. And when we realize we have placed things ahead of God, let's not continue to be impatient and distracted. And let us certainly, certainly not try to make excuses when God points them out to us. Let's just go to God. And let's just ask for His forgiveness for losing sight of the goal that He has for each and every one of our lives. We can put God first. Even during the summertime, yes, we can. I mean, who else better to take to the beach on vacation and even on, yes, a bicycle ride of a morning than our Heavenly Father? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please bow your head and pray with me. Father, we thank You first and foremost for Your word. We thank You for Your presence here this morning. We thank You for the Holy Spirit who is moving today. Father, in all of our busyness as we go about our lives, help us to just stop and realize no matter what happens, You have a plan for our lives and You know best. As we have our activities and we have our hobbies, Lord, help us to keep You first and put everything else in the order through Your help in doing so. Father, we love You, and we thank You for Your presence here today. In Jesus' name, I pray all of this. Amen. Then you've been our welcome guest. If you've been visiting with us for quite some time and you have decided you're going to place your life here in this church, in this faith family, now's the time to come forward. I'll be standing right here. Just come up and grab me. I'm happy to talk with you about it, and we'll accept you into this membership, into this family, by whatever means is appropriate. If you find yourself at that point with, I need to pray, and I need to pray right now, we have these altars, these prayer rails, open this morning. If you need somebody to pray with you, we'd like to have somebody pray with you. I love praying, and I will be happy to pray with you. It'll be an honor to go to the throne room of God with you. So as we're all standing, please, I just ask that you listen to the Holy Spirit and do what the Holy Spirit is asking you to do.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of the servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And these are the days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore. And we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, He comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.
Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as white in your world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year to believe, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. Behold, he comes riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. Lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes.
Have you enjoyed this morning? Amen. Amen, yes. And we don't have to be in jail to listen to them.
One more.
They'll have one more for us after I give you this benediction. Thank you so much for being here this morning. It has been a good morning. Anytime that you can be in the presence of the Lord, it is a good day. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So if you would please bow your head and receive this blessing. Father, I thank you that today is today. Today is your day, and it is our time. Father, I just ask that you bless everyone here. For those who could not be here this morning, Lord, give them a special blessing. Use us this week. Use us to touch people. Give us the message that they need to hear, and then speak through us, Father. We thank you. We love you. Lord, you are our God, and we are so blessed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We're going to play a song that we usually play at the prison as an encore. Y'all don't have to stay. We know you got places to go and you got to beat the Baptist to Frankie's, but feel free to stick around while y'all are leaving and picking up the chairs. We're just going to play a song we sometimes play.
Let's go.
One night as I lay on my pillow, the moon shining bright as the dawn, I saw a man come a-walking. He had a long chain on. I heard his chain a-clanking. It made a mournful sound.
Yeah.
Wailed it around his body, and it was dragging along the ground.
He had a long chain on. He had a long chain on. He had a long chain on.
He came up to a window. He looked at me and he said, I am so tired and hungry, give me a bite of your bread. He didn't look like a robber. No, 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 he didn't look like a thief. His face was all covered in sadness. He had a voice full of sorrow and grief. Oh.
He had a long chain on.
I went into the kitchen, got him a bowl full of meat. I had a couple old deviled eggs and some worn out macaroni. That's all I had for him to eat. And though he was tired and hungry, a bright light came over his face. He bowed his head on his bosom. He made a beautiful grace. Everybody sing.
He had a long chain on. He had a long chain on. He had a long chain on.
I fetched my chisel and a hammer, and I offered to set him free. He shook his head and said sadly, guess we'd best let it be. But when he had finished his supper, he thanked me again and again. And though it's been years since I've seen him, I still can hear the